Noi selezioniamo le interviste e le riproponiamo per voi. Riascoltale su unicaradio.it o scaricale. Unica Radio, portala sempre con te.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And many thanks to the organizers of this event for their invitation, and especially the people who have been in touch with me about this, Patrizia Manducci and Alessandra Marchi. And I should also add, although he's not officially part of the organizing team, but my good friend Gennaro Gervasio, who I know has been instrumental in organizing the Middle East section of this event. I should also apologize for not being able to speak this beautiful language, and being the first one to speak in English in this meeting, I think apologies are due. my intervention will be probably less academic than what we have heard until now, in the sense that I will deal with some academic tradition in the sense of discussing a text partly, but I will also intended this. I have also intended this presentation as a reflection of on the ongoing political global situation, and that's why I called it a Gramscian perspective on global developments, including the developments in the region on which I specialize, but I'm not limiting myself to that, as you will see. The main title I used is indeed the title of my latest book, which is borrowed from Gramsci. It's the famous, very famous sentence about the crisis consisting in the fact that the old is dying and the new cannot be born. And in this interregnum, a great variety of morbid symptoms appear. Morbid symptoms is the English translation of phenomeni morbosi, which was rendered with symptoms in English, which I think makes sense given that morbosi is anyhow a medical kind of analogy or metaphor. I mean, if you check online, you will see that there has been an increase in references to this this famous sentence by Gramsci over the last few years, and intensifying during the very recent period, let's say over the last year or so. I think that the reason, of course, is rather probably obvious. It is that this sentence, the idea expressed in this sentence, provides a clue, a useful clue, to the emergence of a number of phenomena that can be regarded as morbid from a progressive perspective, or even more broadly, I would say, from a pro-Enlightenment perspective. I've been speaking many times during these 2 days of the Enlightenment. So from a pro-Enlightenment perspective, there are a number of phenomena that have been developing that can be regarded as morbid, as going in the other direction. And, you know, there are plenty of them, from Donald Trump to the European far right, who was speaking a lot of Le Pen recently, to the phenomenon like the Islamic State, the so-called Islamic State in the Middle East, and globally. So I'll get back to that. But I think before getting into all this use of the clue provided in this kind of sentence, I will try to put it in context, in the context of the text in which it has emerged and appeared, in order to try to understand what Gramsci was trying to say through that. All the more that, as we know, And this is especially the case of any sections of the Quaderni that deals with the ongoing political events. The more the Quaderni deal with the ongoing political events, the more they are cryptic. And then they need deciphering, because obviously he could not write in plain terms under the condition where he was. So this text appears in the Quaderno 3, in the Quaderni of 1930, and it's a section entitled Passato e Presente. And so we have to put it in the background to try to understand what he was meaning at that point. And the year is important, the year 1930 in this regard. So the background is the sharpest, of most acute crisis of global capitalism that in the history of capitalism, in the sense of the sharpness of it, which manifested itself through the crash of Wall Street in October 29, but it had started before that, and this was ushering in what has been called the Great Depression. This is the first element of background here. But there is another part of that. The 1930 is also, within a period opened during the same year, or 29, of a sharp left-wing turn, or even ultra-left turn, in the Soviet Union and the global communist movement. In the Soviet Union, that ushered into the phase of collectivization, forced collectivization on the domestic sphere level, and in international policy of the Soviet Union and of the Comintern, the Third International. This was the beginning of what has been called the third period in the history of the Third International, and this was the ultra-left period. And this ultra-left turn was followed by the Italian Communist Party, which adopted in March 1930 thesis on the political situation and a position on the political situation in Italy, which, as we know, Marxist Gramsci rejected. He was in deep disagreement with this new line. And overall, of course, you had this was happening in a context of a weakening of the communist movement in Italy, in the face of the fascist rule, the Mussolinian regime. So it is on this background that we need to try to decipher this encrypted language of this passage in the Quaderni, and try to reconstruct what he was meaning. Cryptic terms he uses is, for instance, speaks of historical materialism and the expansion of historical materialism. Of course, one can assume he was not thinking of any philosophical progresses or whatever of the kind. He was meaning the communist movement of Marxism, let's say, more generally in the political sense. And so let me read from the passage. Of course, I read it in the English translation. If the ruling class has lost its consensus, i.e. is no longer leading but only dominant, which of course is a very classical distinction in Gramsci between leadership or hegemony and domination. So if the ruling class is no longer leading but only dominant, exercising coercive force alone, this means precisely that the great masses have become detached from their traditional ideologies and no longer believe what they used to believe previously. And then comes the famous sentence, the crisis consists precisely in the fact that the old is dying, but the new cannot be born. In this interregnum, a great variety of morbid symptoms appear. Here we can already wonder about the great variety. Is he referring to fascism as a morbid symptom? Is he encompassing other things like the ultra-left turn of the Communist Party, which would make sense when you say that the old is dying, but the new cannot be born, that is, the alternative is not strong enough, then it can display morbid symptoms. And then this would give a very different light, if you want, on this famous sentence. But the text continues, and therefore we can try to explore it beyond that. It says, the problem is the following. I'm reading from Gramsci, I mean the English translation. Can a rift between popular masses and ruling ideologies, as serious as that which emerged after the war, be cured by the simple exercise of force, preventing the new ideologies from imposing themselves? ? Will the interregnum, which he just described, the crisis whose historically normal solution is blocked in this way, and we can understand that the normal solution is the victory of the new, which is not able to be born. So will this interregnum necessarily be resolved in favor of a restoration of the old? That is, with this inability of the new to be born, will this lead to the restoration of the old? And then he answers, or he explains, given the character of the ideologies, that can be ruled out. That is, no return to exactly the same setting that you had before. Yet, not in an absolute sense. So it's all of nuances in nuances. Meanwhile, physical depression will lead in the long run to a widespread scepticism and a new arrangement, combinazione in Italian here, translated by arrangement in English, will be found in which, for example, Catholicism will even more become simply Jesuitism. Big enigma. What does he mean by that, by this Catholicism becoming Jesuitism? Obviously, he's not discussing the history of Catholicism here, and he's referring to the ongoing conditions. Is Jesuitism a reference to fascism? It's one possibility. Or is it a reference to something else? It is an enigmatic. It's part of those rather enigmatic parts of the Quaderni for the reasons that we mentioned. But he continues here. He says, from this too, one may conclude that highly favorable conditions are being created for an unprecedented expansion of historical materialism. This gives the cryptic character of the whole thing quite clearly. Now, this conclusion that from all this one may conclude that highly favorable conditions are being created for this unprecedented expansion of historical materialism, this, I would say, may sound rather optimistic, and therefore maybe in contrast with the famous motto of Gramsci about the pessimism of the intellect. But I should say, if you put it in context again, compared to the ultra-optimism of the Comintern in 1930 about the ineluctability of the socialist revolution coming just after fascism, it sounds rather pessimistic, or rather, let's say, more moderate in its estimate of the situation. Now, let me move from this, and of course the text is open to interpretation. At the same time, that's the richness, I would say, that's part of the richness, this enigmatic character of the Quaderni in provoking thought, in leading one to think and try to therefore, in a sense, read much closer than you would read for a plain open text, and that's a characteristic of this kind of writing. So let me move from that to discussing our time precisely. How does our time compare to 1930, to the time of this writing? Well, capitalism entered a few years ago, in 2008, in the most important crisis since the Great Depression, what is called by the economists today the Great Recession. But it is the second most important crisis in the history of capitalism, and it's not over, of course. It started a few years ago, and it's unfolding in, of course, different ways than what you had in the interwar period, but there is still this crisis. And the difference is precisely that it is a creeping crisis compared to that of the Great Depression. A rampante, as you would say, you used to say here about the Maggio rampante and all that. So here also the crisis is rampante, is creeping compared to the 30s. And this crisis comes on top of decades of neoliberal unraveling of the post-1945 social contract, the kind of, you know, the global expansion of the Fordist kind of social contract, which characterized the post-war years. This has been unraveling over several years under the neoliberal offensive. And this led to a very serious erosion of liberal capitalist hegemony. And in that sense, there are, of course, something common here, in the sense that the old is definitely dying, in that sense. This old social consensus, this old hegemony, this old form of leadership or hegemony is dying. Now, on the other hand, from a Gramscian perspective, let us look at the progressive forces representing a progressive solution, so therefore the new that should try to or we would like to be born, that is forces fighting for social justice, we can see them emerging globally. We see them in a number of phenomena of shift to the left in recent years, including sections of the social democratic force. I'm thinking here of the Labour Party, but even the French Socialist Party had some partial shift in that regard. We see them even in the United States with Bernie Sanders, which is probably the most surprising development of last year. Trump was not surprising. Trump came on top of a drift to the right of the Republicans with the Tea Party, which is something that starts with actually from the conservative revolution of Reagan, goes through Newt Gingrich, the Tea Party, and so there is something expectable about the Trump phenomenon, whereas the Bernie Sanders phenomenon was not expectable at all, and that was a big surprise to see millions of young Americans, young in particular, being attracted to a person calling himself a socialist, which is in the United States sounds very, very radical. So we see these forces emerging. However, and the experiences here, they are still too weak to prevail. And although, of course, their emergence itself shows that the huge skepticism towards socialism, the socialist idea, that was provoked by the collapse of so-called really existing socialism in the early 90s, that this skepticism has started to recede, but we can see that the progressive forces have not yet been able to build a counter-hegemony of the magnitude that would be required to win for this new to be born. And hence, we are precisely in this kind of interregnum. We are very much in this kind of interregnum, as Gramsci called it, with Trump, the European far right, the global drift to the right, India, Turkey, you can think of many examples of that. We are seeing this shift to the right, to the far right, actually, even, albeit less violent overall, more creeping than what we had in the 30s, in the same way that the global crisis is itself less brutal. Now, the Arab Spring, the so-called Arab Spring, or the big uprising in the Arab world, I think provides a very sharp illustration of this kind of situation. And that's why I used the Gramsci's formula as a title of my latest book, which is about the latest phase of this uprising, because uprising started in 2011, 2012. That is the period that we can label the Arab Spring nowadays with, in retrospect. After that, the spring turned into a winter, a very harsh winter, actually. We enter into a reactionary phase. Now, the situation in general is one where the overall system of patrimonial and neo-patrimonial states is has reached its limits through an economic blockage, which is just worsening with the upheaval, with the uprising, very acute social crisis, and especially in the form of unemployment. So this old system is dying, no doubt about that. But the progressive forces that actually initiated the regional uprising and led it at the beginning were not up to the task of leading the change. They were, let's say, their presence was strong enough to initiate, to lead the uprising phase of that, but certainly not to seize power, to lead a mass movement into power. And as a result of this, we have a typical illustration of the crisis, as Gramsci defined it, this crisis, with morbid symptoms appearing actually on both ends of the political divide. And that's why I was discussing the meaning of even the morbid symptoms, that this great variety of morbid symptoms that Gramsci was referring to. In the Arab region, it is taking it's taking mostly the form of morbid symptoms on within one of the forces of opposition to the old order, which is not a progressive one. In that sense, with big differences, but if we regard fascism as an opposition to the old order, but not a progressive one, a reactionary one, you can draw a parallel without, I'm not at all in favor of the analogy between fascism and Islamic fundamentalism, but just at this level, structurally speaking, one can see some analogy. And we see also the old regimes themselves falling more and more into naked domination, naked dominazione, and more brutal, more and more barbaric in that sense. And the most striking or most tragic illustration of this situation is Syria, with the Assad regime on the one hand and ISIS, or the so-called Islamic State, on the other hand. In conclusion, I will just refer to a formula that I used as a title of a previous book 15 years ago after 9/11, where I discussed the global trend, actually, not only the regional one. And this, I used this term, which was a kind of reversal of Huntington's clash of civilizations. I spoke of a clash of barbarisms. And that the crisis, which was already emerging in the global system with the turn of the century, this crisis will favor in the absence, as long as progressive forces are not there to lead it towards change, we will see a kind of liberation and expansion of barbaric tendencies on both sides of this clash here, speaking of the form it takes with the United States on the one hand, clashing with the Islamic world, and that was that is what was called or perceived by Huntington as a clash of civilization. And the general perspective in this regard, I would say, is one of historical bifurcation. The view that as long as the progressive forces are not able to lead the needed change, the drift towards barbarism can only increase on the background of the crisis of neoliberalism, the crisis of the whatever systems we are speaking of. And therefore, the morbid symptoms can only degenerate into an acute disease in the absence of the alternative, the progressive alternative. And here I think we should combine the Gramscian perspective with that of another tragic figure of Marxism in 20th century, Rosa Luxemburg, and her famous socialism or barbarism, because that gives here the bifurcation, the sense of the bifurcation, and this is the most powerful combination, if you want, of this pessimism of the intellect and optimism of the will, the idea that short of this will able to change the conditions, the worst can happen, and we are threatened by the fourth, by the worst, by barbarism. So I think this is the historical alternative that we are facing today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Selezioniamo le interviste realizzate e le riproponiamo per voi. Musicisti, innovatori, artisti, sportivi, operatori sociali. Raccontiamo la città che cambia. Un archivio unico a disposizione. Scelti da noi e messi in onda per voi. Unica Radio, B-Podcast.